To me, these occurrences are phenomenal. They appear to be of the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements.
Change.
Ideas, emotions, and attitudes were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men are suddenly cast to one side.
Change.
And a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them.
Change.
In fact, I've been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangement within you.
Change.
With many individuals, the methods which I employed are successful, but I've never been successful with an alcoholic of your description. Asterisk, bottom of the page, for amplification. See Appendix 2. Mm-hmm. They want to be sure that we understand what this vital spiritual experience is. I read this thing and it just blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's one of the best known psychiatrists in the world. And Roland goes to him and he's treated for a year. He leaves there and gets drunk and he comes back to the doctor. And he begs the doctor to tell him the whole truth and he got it. The doctor said, you're probably going to die from alcoholism. Said, with all the knowledge that I have of the mind, I'm not able to help you any further, Roland. You're probably going to die from alcoholism, period. You know, normally the doctor would have said, Roland, I believe you're suffering from a Valium deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Let me write you a prescription and you keep coming back for another year. But this little doctor had enough humility to go outside of himself. And he said, I don't know the answer, but it might lie in spirituality. He said, these things are phenomena to me. I do not understand them, but I've seen it happen with people of your type. Old ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which are the guiding forces of the lives of these people, are cast aside and replaced with a new set of ideas, emotions, and attitudes. Now, we're not sure whether Dr. Jung told him to go to the Oxford groups or not, but we know he left there, came back to the States, got involved in the Oxford group, had a spiritual experience or spiritual awakening. He carried it to Evie, and then Evie carried it to Bill. And it blows my mind when I look at these things to see where they come from. You know, we alcoholics today who are so proud of our 12 steps, and rightfully we should be so, we need to stop once in a while and see where they came from. Step one came to us from a doctor in New York City named Dr. Silkworth, who was not alcoholic. Step two came to us from a psychiatrist on the other side of the world who was non-alcoholic. The last 10 steps came to us from a group of people practicing first century Christianity who were non-alcoholics. You know, Bill always said, he said, I knew none of these things. He said, my mind was used as a vessel. And these various pieces of information gelled in my mind, and I was able to write the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, but they all came to us from non-alcoholic people. I think it might do us good to remember that. You know, that they really came from all non-alcoholics, Joe.
Kind of interesting to me that Dr. Silkworth knew what the problem was, the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, but he didn't have a solution for it. Dr. Jung, on the other side of the earth, he gave Roland the solution, the vital spiritual experience. To me, he said these were a phenomenon. He didn't even understand them, but he knew they existed. He didn't know what the problem was. He didn't know about the physical allergy, the obsession of the mind, but he gave him the solution, which is vital spiritual experience. The Oxford groupers, they weren't involved in the problem or the solution. They had the spiritual program of action, the little six tenets of the Oxford group. They weren't interested in helping drunks. You see, so they didn't know what the problem was either. But you know, Alcoholics Anonymous started right here. Because way back in those days, he said that here and there, just once in a great while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. Today, this morning, we can look around these rooms at each other and tell each other that here and now, every time an alcoholic will apply these things to their life, they too can recover. And they called it Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank God it happened in our time, for sure.
So we see the real solution to alcoholism then is made up of two things. For those of us who are powerless, we're going to have power in our lives. And we see in the big book that a part of that power is through the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, where we gather together and share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. And we're putting a little picture up here on the screen to kind of indicate this. And you'll notice over on the left-hand side of that picture, we have the fellowship, which supports us, where the older members, through the sharing of their experience, strength, and hope with a newcomer, provides enough power for the newcomer to be able to stay sober for a period of time. And by the way, it's a two-way street, too. As the older member supports the new member, the older member draws strength from that too. Lots of power in the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, no doubt about that. It will be almost impossible today to be a member of AA and not begin to believe in some kind of power other than human power working in and through this fellowship. You can hardly hear countless hundreds of people saying, it's only by the grace of God, or because of a power greater than I am, or because of God as I understand Him, I haven't found it necessary to take a drink in X number of days, weeks, months, or years, whatever. You can hardly hear that over and over and over and over and not begin to believe there must be some kind of power working within this thing. The newcomer begins to believe that, and that opens the mind, and they become willing to investigate. And they find that simple kit of spiritual tools laid at their feet, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. As we begin to apply the 12 steps in our lives, we begin to change. Our old ideas, attitudes, and emotions are cast aside and replaced with a new set. Revolutionizes our entire attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. We have a spiritual experience. If it's fast, a spiritual awakening. If it's slow, a personality change sufficient to recover from alcoholism. That's the real solution. Now, after we've had this spiritual experience or spiritual awakening, we then become older members of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now we can go back to the left-hand side of the sheet, and we can help support the next newcomer that comes in and help them then work their way through the steps where they can have a spiritual experience also. And if you notice, we're measuring older membership not on how long have you been sober, but upon the quality of that sobriety. When AA first started, there was never any question about this. Everybody was expected to use the steps and have a spiritual experience. And if they didn't want to use the steps, then they were told, well, you might as well leave here because there's nothing we can do for you unless you're willing to accept spirituality, work the steps, and have the spiritual experience. But then as time went by, they began to water down the program. They began to treat it like a cafeteria. They began to take some and leave some. And almost immediately, the quality of the sobriety began to go down, 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 and down. You know, today in AA, you see all kinds of people. Sometimes you see a person that's only been in here maybe 6 months. They got a good sponsor. The sponsor took them through the book, helped them work the steps. They've had a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening, and you just love to be around them. They're always laughing and cutting up and having fun, doing everything they can for AA and other people. They are a real delight to behold. They really are. Then you see some people in here that's been sober 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 years. They treated it like a cafeteria. They took some and they left some. They're better than they used to be, but you never know what kind of shape they're going to be the next time you run into them. One day they're up and the next day they're down, and they're kind of like a yo-yo, just going up and down, up and down. And then you see some that's been in here 20, 25, 30 years, never took a step, damn proud of it. And they're the ones that say, by God, if you want what we've got, then are willing to do it. Now, some of those guys feel so bad you'd like to buy them a drink. You know damn good and well they would feel better. So we're not talking about length of sobriety. We're talking about quality of sobriety. And only those who have had a spiritual experience or spiritual awakening can help the next newcomer have one. You can't give away something you haven't got. So we see very definitely there's two parts to the power that brings about recovery. Fellowship first supports us. And then when our head kind of clears up, we begin working the program, then the steps change us, and we have a spiritual awakening. Now, I can almost see Bill as he's writing the book. He probably sits back at the end of chapter 2. And he said, well, now let me see. I told him the problem in the doctor's opinion and my story, Bill's story. Gave him an example of the problem there. He said, now then I've told them the solution. But he probably said to himself, they're not going to like the solution any better than I did. You remember how Bill had a lot of problem with this stuff that Eddie was bringing to him. And I think he says to himself, maybe I better show them what's going to happen to them if they don't find this solution. And he sits down and he writes another chapter called Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism. And in Chapter 3, he talks about one thing and one thing only. Step 2 says, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, if we have to be restored to sanity, then it indicates we must be insane. And many alcoholics are highly offended when you tell them that. They say, oh, no, 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 I'm not insane. Yeah, I did some pretty crazy, stupid things while drinking. But when sober, I'm much like normal people. Other alcoholics say, well, I don't have any trouble with that insanity because I remember all the crazy, stupid things I did while drinking. And in either case, they're referring to the crazy, stupid things we do while drinking as insanity. No, that's not insanity. The crazy, stupid things we do while drinking, those things are caused by a mind filled with alcohol. Alcohol lowers the inhibitions. And if your mind is filled with something that lowers the inhibitions, look out. You're going to do some pretty crazy, stupid things, all right. But that's caused by alcohol. This bugged us, bugged us, and bugged us. So finally we went to the dictionary. And we looked up the word sane or sanity. Sane or sanity is defined as wholeness of mind or completeness of mind. A mind that is whole, a mind that is complete, can see the truth about everything around it, makes decisions based on truth, and life turns out to be pretty good. An insane mind is one that is less than whole. A mind that is less than whole cannot always see the truth about everything around it, makes decisions based on a lie, and then life usually gets all screwed up. To be insane does not mean you're crazy. You know, if you're crazy, you've lost more than half your marbles. And you got to be locked up somewhere to protect you and society from you. To be insane does not mean that you're crazy. It just simply means you're not quite all here. And when it comes to alcohol, it seems as though from time to time, we alcoholics are not quite all here. And this whole chapter is designed to show us the insanity that we must be restored from. And he does it in a perfect way by using examples. He talks about the man of 30. He talks about a fellow named Jim. He talks about the jaywalker. And he talks about a fellow named Fred. And always we look in the mind just before they become insane, when the mind is stone cold sober. Let's look at the lie that we alcoholics believe.